Don't you ever get tired? Tired of constantly getting the red carpet treatment?
Good evening.
Tired of having all your worries taken care of and knowing that there's a place reserved for you?
Right this way, sir.
Of course you don't. That's why you join PokerStars. After all, our VIP club awards over $3.6 million worth of major on- and offline tournament entries every month. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out more about why other reward schemes just don't open as many doors. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's November 12th, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. So, Chris, you know how like February is National Black History Month, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, probably May is like, you know, Hug a Tree Month or something like that. And June is Watch as Much Porn as You Can Month. I'm thinking that we should call November, quote unquote, everyone hears about poker and tells you about it because you play poker a month.
Man, don't I know it.
I mean, it's just kind of funny to me. Maybe it's because, you know, the November 9 is finishing up and it's like the one time a year that poker is actually in the newspapers and maybe on some channel other than ESPN. But all these people have been coming up to me this last week. Going, hey, you see that guy won some money this week? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. No, I didn't. Buddy, I'm sorry. I apologize. I own a poker magazine. I had no idea people were playing for the world freaking title this week. Thank you so much for letting me know, because that'll save my business.
You know, Gene came home last night, and there are a couple of ladies. Actually, one of the ladies that was on the cruise who booked through you that you know from Tampa Bay Downs, her name was Gloria.
Right, right.
She was one of the ladies that is going to join my wife's club, and one of her friends talks to my wife and says, you know, oh, your husband, what does he do? And she goes, oh, you know, he owns a poker magazine. He's like, really? Yeah. She says, yeah. I'd love to see the magazine. So my wife goes and gets the magazine because she has a few at work. You know, she always likes to, you know, give them out because you never know, you know, who she's going to give them to, you know. So she gives the magazine to the lady and she's like, yeah, my husband's out at the World Series of Poker right now for the World Championship, you know, the final table. So she goes, oh, my God. I've been watching that. Which one is he? And my wife's like, yeah, no, my husband's not playing for the world title. If he was playing for $9 million today, I would not be here, believe me. You know, it's the same thing. I'm standing in line at the airport, and the guy sees my patch on andyupmagazine.com, and he says, hey, at first he wants it. It was like the same confrontational thing that I always have when I'm standing in line, going ready to board the plane. He's like, what's your number? And I'm like, I'm like B15, because I saw his was B17. He thought I was cutting in front of him, you know? I knew he was going to ask me that. I'm like, B15. He's like, oh, all right, God bless you. God bless you, son. That's what he said, right? And he's just some old dude from, like, Tallahassee. So then later on, he's like, hey, now that he sees that I've kind of been pissed off, you know, now he's like kind of, hey, did you watch the poker yesterday? And how much did they win? They start asking me all these questions and everything. I'm like, man, you're absolutely right. November should be, you know. Just shut up and don't talk about poker month because I don't want to hear it.
I mean, I get hit from everywhere. You know, they actually had an article in the St. Pete Times, which, of course, is the first poker article they've had since we left.
I know.
2.5 years ago. And all my friends from there are like, hey, did you see this? And then the homeowners meeting, someone goes, hey, is that going to be you someday? I'm like, ho, 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 ho. You know, like you always have that little fake chuckle like, oh, that's the first time I heard of that, buddy. It made me remind me of the story that back when I worked at the Times, my boss, she came up to me one day. She's like, you know, hey, I was at the store last night, and I saw a poker T-shirt. I think it said something like, hold 'em on it. And I thought I was going to buy it for you because I thought you'd love that. But then I decided, maybe you wouldn't. And I'm like, maybe you're right. Appreciate the sentiment. Really do. I mean, sweet lady. But it's funny how people, you know, they know you're into poker, so anything is poker related, you love.
But it's nice, though. I mean, you know, at least they're trying to talk to you and they're trying to relate. And, you know, at some point, it's kind of, you know, oh my God, please, not another poker story or whatever. But for the most part, hey, at least they're making the effort to try to talk to you and take a, you know, an interest in your life or whatever. So at that part, I don't really mind either. But
yeah, you know, kind of builds up, right?
Yeah, and you can tell all walks of life, you know, are trying to get in on the poker thing on November. You know, I come home, my first night back, I'm flicking through the channels. And, you know, my wife likes that Millionaire Matchmaker show because the lady just goes off on people. And, you know, it's funny because, like, she's like the ugliest lady on the planet. And yet she fixes up, and she's single, yet she fixes up all these millionaire people with Matt, you know. And it's like, lady, you know, if you're so good at it, why aren't you finding somebody for yourself? You know, it's hilarious. So I'm flicking through the channels and that show's on. And Gene likes the show. So, I stop, and who's on the show except Beth Shack?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people may not know who she is, but she's a professional poker player. Used to be married to Dan Shack. You know, and
now she's playing the field.
She's had some boyfriends and stuff, but apparently she has mommy issues.
Really?
Yeah, she likes to take care of her boyfriends, and you know, she's a millionaire, so she lets them get away with whatever they want, and she's got so much money, she drives an Aston Martin, she's got houses in, like, Jersey and Vegas and California, all these other places, and it's like, really? Really? You're having trouble? So I think you and I, Scott, you know how we're always talking about what our next business adventure is going to be if we ever, you know, sell the magazine for billions of dollars? I think this is it. I think we got to set up, you know, idiots with women who have mommy issues who are millionaires. And then we got to take all their money when we're playing them in poker. That's our, my next goal. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, I mean, they set her up with this really goofy guy. And what does she do? She brings her gay massage therapist on the date, or he's like their makeup artist or something. I don't know what he is, but that's what they say. You brought your gay husband with you on the date. That's what she says on the show. And it's hilarious. Right from the start, the lady tells her, look, let him take care of you. Let him, you know, let him be the romantic guy. Let him do everything. Let him do whatever he wants. And she's like, okay, I'll let him plan the date and everything, and I'm so looking forward to this. So the guy shows up for the date. And she goes, hey, I got a surprise for you. I've planned our date. I've got a private jet that's going to fly us to Borgata because it's my favorite casino. So she, like, she totally takes the reins and plans the date for him and takes this gay guy on the date with her. And she starts flirting with the gay guy and saying that she would marry him if he wasn't gay all during the date. I feel so sorry for this other loser who's on the show, you know, and...
Yeah, that's tough. He gets a free private flight to New Jersey. I feel for him. My heart goes out to the poor guy.
Yeah, and
what a rough life he's having.
They went to, like, the finest restaurant, and they poured him, like, the finest champagne, and, you know, and it's just like, really, man, really. I mean, I just and this guy is apparently a self-made millionaire too, which is kind of weird. You know, it's like I always thought that you're set up with millionaires because, you know, you don't have any money. And the other story was much more interesting. It was some guy that said he wanted $2 bimbos to be his girlfriend, and he was a bald loser who, you know, he was a millionaire, but he just treated everybody like dirt. And that was more hilarious. But I just couldn't believe Beth Shack was on, and of course they ran it the same weekend as the November 9 final table. So,
yeah.
You know. But I think that's what you and I need to do. I'd love to see you on there, like, all right, bring in the photos of the girls. I want to see who I'm matching up. You know, that'd be hilarious, man.
You know, they bring me, like, a Stella Artois, and I'm like, out with that. Can't drink that stuff.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
It'd be a $10 error matchmaker. Oh, well, you know, hey, 10 bucks is about I would be happy if I got 10 bucks in apes. Sometime this year. It's been a brutal run for me, Chris. But last night, or Wednesday night, our events 19, I love the story. About 8:38, you know, I'm banging out some emails and stuff, and a little Skype dings up, and it's one of our listeners, Reed Money. And he types into the window, all right, I am a dumbass, but I'm not a Russian or a Brazilian. And I've listened to the podcast today, but forgot the password. Help, please. Of course, you know, my heart is three times too big. So I go ahead and give the password to him. even though, you know, it's still mind-boggling that people don't know the password, AnnieUp 2010. And what's Reed Money do? He goes on and wins the whole thing.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
So for the other 49 people in the tournament, my apologies once again, because this has happened before, not this way, but once again, I've given the password to the person who went on to win it. I apologize. I just took a bunch of money off the table. But congratulations to Reed. Outhouse of the penthouse. They're not even knowing how to get in the tournament, and then wins the thing.
Oh, man. That's like the person who never plays Lotto, but the first time they play, they hit the million.
Oh, just, this is so easy.
You just want to wrap your fingers around their throat. So I'm sure, like, Gambit's all ticked off now, because he might have won had it not been for Reed being at the table.
Yeah, and Nick Mariana, both of those guys won Bananas already this year. They're at the final table. Geek just missed the final table. He's a banana winner, and so, you know. I let the fox into the hen house, and I apologize to everybody but the fox. And folks, probably when they signed up on our site, this was supposed to be an anti-up style no limit event, but I forgot to mention to folks previously that that style, PokeStars isn't able to do that in the private tournament format right now, so we just made it. Normal, crappy old No Limit Hold'em, which in the chat window during the tournament, I guess some folks were referring to it as little C, big NLHE. Now, I think the credit goes to DJM for that one, but I kind of cracked up when I saw that. So, see, I've coined a new acronym, CNLHE. and of course, you know, it was a another unceremonial ouster for me. I got into the race with 6-6 versus Ace King, and of course, the board pairs nines on the turn. And I'm like, all right, no ace, no king, and of course, the board pairs tens on the.
Oh God!
And I'm like, yes, no ace, no king. Wait a minute, my chips are going to the wrong stack.
Oh, man.
And counterfeited on the river.
That just sucks.
But, you know, hey, I got to catch up on The Apprentice. We watched like 4 episodes last night.
Was it
so
in 3D?
Don't cry for me, Argentina. It's not in
3D. It's not in 3D, okay.
But I tell you, watching a football in 3D, the bomb. And I thought it couldn't get any better, but tennis.
Oh, man, that must be coming right in the living room.
Oh, man, yeah, you know, because you introduced me on one of our trips to that, what's that, Wozniacki girl?
Yeah.
Great tennis player, great, easy on the eyes, too. She was, like, running around my living room.
Was she getting you drinks, too?
No, she wasn't, unfortunately. But, yeah, the 3D is awesome. I'm waiting for the 3D poker.
Oh,
so
man.
The cards are flying at me. But
yeah, you know, like the intro of the World Series when they show the dealer's hands pitching the cards at you. Oh, my God. That would be like Faso sitting across from me just throwing the cards at my forehead.
Yeah, I'd be like spilling my popcorn and everything trying to dodge him. but, you know, hey, our winner, Reed, he said he was going to call. They always say they're going to call, Chris, and they never do.
Yeah.
They never do. I mean, Rice, who won the last Apes event, called after the show. Sorry.
Way after the show.
Got a call before the show.
Yeah.
Flip ain't going to get on.
We can't encourage that behavior.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got a zero tolerance policy for late calls. And but somebody did call from last night, and it's our new friend Tim from Oregon. So let's hear what he had to say.
Hey, Scott and Chris, this is Tim Rasmussen from Roseburg, Oregon, a.k.a. Raz Clan on Poker Stars. Just ended up playing the tournament here, came up third. It's only the second tournament I've played, so was really excited about that. Everyone seems really nice to deal with, and there's no donks or anything like that at the table, so it's nice to play with a good group and a respectful group and encouraging. So I hope you guys have a great day. Keep up the great work, and look forward to hearing your next PokerCast. Bye.
Well, of course, Chris. There were no punks playing. You weren't playing.
Yeah,
so think about this. Had you played last night, we wouldn't have had a hotline call for Apes because this guy wouldn't have called.
I sacrificed my banana so that we had an audio clip about Apes. Actually, I was at dinner. My wife got out of work late, and I was working my butt off all day yesterday, way far into the night. And when she got home, I was starving. She was starving, and she wanted to go out to eat, and we didn't get back in time, so... that's why I missed Apes. And then when I came home, I went right back to work again. So
got to do that iPhone to laptop tether thing. So,
yeah.
In between ordering your food, you can be check raising.
Garçon, could you please move out of the way? The signal is not strong enough when you stand there.
Or better yet, have him hold the phone around you. Get on the roof like the rabbit ears. That'd be awesome.
Well, one event I will not miss is Saturday, November 27th at noon. Horse. I will not miss that.
We're playing the big people games now, folks.
Yeah, I will not miss that. Although I probably will miss the free roll because I think Dr. Frank's having a home game that day.
Yeah, Dr. Frank always has home games during Apes.
Yeah, it's the only time you can get a day off, seems to be like that. It seems like to be like a supervisor looks at the schedule and says, he'd probably like to play this day. I'll give him the day off. And then instead of playing it, he holds a home game. But whatever. You know, I'd rather play live than online. So I'll skip the free roll, but I won't miss the main event. I can't wait for Horse.
Yes, we're actually playing real poker, boys and girls. And, because we always forget to mention this on the show, the password, anti-up 2010. I feel bad that we never mention that ever on the show, and,
now,
and we don't
do we
put
use,
it anywhere.
Do we use like, the numerals, know. Or do we spell it out, 2010?
Yeah, can you imagine we spelled it out? You know?
Password continued on next page.
It's too bad that we don't put it on a website like antiupmagazine.com/apes, AIPS. We really should look into that. We'll get our web guys on that. All right, we got a little feedback.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got a little feedback from the cruise.
Yes. We're back on dry land, but we're working hard on the next one, Chris.
And
it's nice to be reminded that we have folks that enjoyed the last one.
All right, so this comes from Andy Up King.
This is Andy Up King calling in to report about the cruise. Had a great time. Unfortunately, I didn't actually get sober until Wednesday night sometime. Lost, unfortunately, a lot of money over at the Atlantis. Severely crippled my bankroll. I did have a wonderful time despite that. Look forward to a future cruise. Thanks again, guys, for the great opportunity. Absolutely enjoyed it.
Did we meet Annie Up King on the ship?
Absolutely.
I can't remember. Did I meet
him? What?
I don't remember.
What? Of course you did. Like 90 times. Maybe you were the one that was drunk.
Oh, just kidding.
That would have been an interesting story. But yeah, I'll take this opportunity to shamelessly plug our next three cruises in 2011. First being March 7th out of Fort Lauderdale. That's the next one coming up. Not quite ready to take bookings, but the antiupmagazine.com/cruise page has been updated with all the basic info. We'll be adding in the tournament schedule, class schedules, all that kind of stuff at some point. And hopefully by next week or at least by Thanksgiving, we'll have the booking engine all up and we'll be ready to get you guys some quality staterooms on that beautiful Navigator of the Seas.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it. And, I figured that because the World Series was going on, that there'd be a ton of news on the Antiup News Desk. Because pretty much everybody walks up to me, tells me about what's going on around the poker world. So I thought for sure that your news desk would be piled up, but we're going to forego that, aren't we?
Well, no. I mean, here's the thing. I'm back here at Antiup headquarters. I was monitoring the news everywhere and dry as the Sahara Desert. I think it's like, during baseball, the baseball people aren't supposed to make news in the World Series, so everybody focuses on the World Series.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's what the memo that Harris sent out, because I couldn't find a speck of news to put on the news desk this week. But I didn't want to leave people hanging, Chris.
Yeah.
And, our good friend Chicago Jason, when he was down here, he was telling me that, hey, Scott, your rants on the show, you're beginning to be become like that. Who's that guy? That Lewis Black guy. And, of course, I was touched because Lewis Black is, a personal hero, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, actually, no, that's not the right guy. I'm thinking more, who's that really old guy on 60 Minutes?
I knew you were going to Andy Rooney from there. I knew that's where you were going.
And I'm like, Andy Rooney? He's like, yeah, you're more like that guy. And I'm like, oh, thanks.
Great. I knew that's where this is going. You ever wonder why Scott talks like this? Oh, man, that's great.
All right, so if I'm already, if the word on the street is that I'm already an old cotchery guy.
Cotchery or crotchety?
No, it's both. And so if that's the word on the street, then darn it, I'm going to just live up to it, right?
Okay.
And I'm going to do an Annie Up News Desk editor on last week's elections.
All right, let it rip, buddy. Let it rip.
All right. Barney Frank, the patron saint of poker politics, Chris.
Yeah.
Survived his reelection bid, but the House is now controlled by Republicans, and only Democrats have shown interest in internet poker on the federal level. Democrats retain control of the U.S. Senate, but the top Democrat is Harry Reid, who hasn't really shown much interest in internet poker himself because he lives out in Nevada where all the casinos run everything. Alabama elected an anti-gambling Republican to all their top spots, totally killing any chance of any gaming in that state coming up.
Yeah.
Right here in Florida, Republicans swept the cabinet, the governor's mansion, and Republican leaders in the legislature don't appear to be very gambling-friendly. The only bright spots I could find anywhere around the country were in West Virginia, where lawmakers are already talking about having to do something to help the state's casinos compete with those new offerings in Pennsylvania and the ones that are coming in Ohio soon. And New Jersey lawmakers seem destined to try again to get something going with internet poker in their state. But Chris, in most cases these days, I think support of the poker and gaming issues isn't limited to Democrats, but the winners of many of these elections last week, regardless of party, aren't showing much interest at all in advancing any kind of poker legislation. So for poker players and gaming enthusiasts, it's at the very least going to be a very, very, very long 2 years, I think. And it's probably going to be longer than that. Well, rant over.
Yeah, that wasn't really a rant. That was more like factual. you did pretty good. You actually kind of you kept
all right,
yourself
so is it,
in check.
Are we some news into that then, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
We can leave the Annie Up News Desk as the title of the
the
segment? All right, okay.
Well, I did talk to Greg Raymer out there. And,
yeah.
He said he still thinks during the lame duck session that some UIGEA stuff might go away and some.
That really is probably our last hope here. Yeah.
So we'll see. If that happens, that'll carry us through the 2 years. You know what I mean?
So, I will unrant my rant at that point.
See, here I am being the eternal optimist that I am, trying to shed some light on your always negative news. I'm wearing my Scott Long hat for once.
Yes. It's opposite day here on the Annie Puppet Cast. Unreal!
And I think we should go to the next clip then. Hotline 813-448-1120. Call that. We use it. We give you something. This one comes from Doug from Minneapolis, actually. He's going to Argentina.
Hey, Scott and Chris. This is Doug from Minneapolis. Just was kind of curious. Heading out to potentially Argentina, what's the poker rules for down there? Can I play online, or am I stuck not?
Well, first of all, quit your bragging, Doug.
Yeah.
I don't get to go to Argentina. I mean, I got to go to, like, the Bahamas and Cozumel, places like that. I can't get all the way to Argentina, so appreciate you calling and bragging. But but I did a little digging for him before he left. He's probably already home by now. But I did a little digging, and Casino City reports there are actually 15 casinos, Chris, with poker in Argentina.
With poker.
A lot more than that, but 15 of them with poker. Most of them only have 1 to 4 tables, and you generally know what that means. That means it's kind of like cruise ship poker.
Yeah.
You know, they have a table there, but there's never really ever poker going on. But the largest, for the rest of you guys that are all going to Argentina, and why not, you know?
Yeah.
It's cheap to get down there, right?
Yeah.
Go to the Casino de Mendoza.
Mendoza.
It must be below the Mendoza line,
yeah.
Right?
The casino in the middle.
Yeah. And it has 10 tables. So, you know, you're not going to find a Foxwoods or a Borgata down there.
No, but 10 tables isn't pretty respectable.
Not bad. Yeah, you could probably get some games going at the Casino de Mendoza.
Yeah.
I'm looking at rolling my R's. Of course, there's no R's in that, so you couldn't really tell that. But.
Oh, man.
Rosetta Stone is worth every penny.
Man, that's expensive, too. I've looked into that. It's ridiculous. Like $5.99 or something. It's like, just go over there and bring a book.
Yeah, see, you get the knockoff on eBay, the Rosie Stone. It's a lot cheaper. You know, you only learn about a tenth of the language, but
I've heard of Rosie Palm. I never heard of Rosie Stone. Tell him when he wins, Johnny.
All right, Doug. I know you couldn't get any cheap T-shirts down in Argentina, But we're going to send you a t-shirt from PMS Pokerware, which sells hilarious shirts for gals and guys at PMSPokerware.com. And, you know, Robin there is always great on these suggestions. So every week I'm trying to give her a new suggestion. So what I'm going to suggest now is my friend went to Argentina to play poker, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. maybe she'll crank that out here for you, Doug.
Oh, man, very good. All right, so the mailbag comes from Rhett, and he is he a member of the Ball State Journalism Department?
Yeah, I forget exactly what his role is there, Brett. He's part of the Ball State Journalism Department, and, of course, I got a little special place in my heart for the Ball State Journalism Department because, you know, when all the cool kids in high school were going to, like, you know, football camp and basketball camp, I was going to journalism camp.
He didn't even know there was one. That's so sad.
But, you know, it's great because all those nerdy guys get to hook up with all the nerdy girls. So, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina. But I had a lot of fun at Ball State Journalism Department, so I was excited when I got this email from Rhett.
Yeah, but when you guys hooked up, all she did was check your dangling participial. That's pretty much all that happened. So really, don't be bragging on that too much, buddy.
Hey, that's a lot of action for a guy like me in high school.
All right, he says he's a longtime listener, first-time writer. Says he knows that's cliche, but he wants to move on here. He wanted to send us an email to get some tips on what he should do to prepare for his first live poker experience at a casino. How many big blinds should he bring? He says the casino he's going to seems to spread 1-2-no limit pretty exclusively, so that's probably what he's going to be playing. And any other tips that he hasn't considered he wants to know, anything we could do would be greatly appreciated. And he says to keep rocking the podcast, Scott, so apparently that's what we're doing.
Got my little victory fingers up. Rocking!
So I think I wrote back to Rhett, too, because it seems like I've already talked about this on the show.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this a lot. But, you know, it's a good reminder because we get new listeners every week.
Absolutely.
So,
you know. Absolutely. You know, again, the standard answer in poker on everything really is it depends. So, really, how much do you want to lose? You know, how much are you willing to lose if it happens to be that outcome? So, you know, if 1-2 game, a good bankroll is 300, 400, 500 maybe. I don't know. It just depends. You know, if you go get felted, are you going to go home? If you are going to go home, then really just bring one or two buy-ins. If you're there for the long haul and you get two bad beats and you think you're better than everybody at the table and you can still win the money back, then bring three buy-ins. So, I don't know, somewhere between 400 and 600 maybe. Depends on what the limits are at the table, too. They might have a min-max of, like, you know, 1-200. So, I don't know.
And I suggested to him to call ahead and find out what that min-max is. Yeah. And, you know, I know people vilify me for buying in light. But when you're first time at a casino, I don't think there's anything wrong with buying in for the minimum. And you're right. You have to have a couple of bullets in your pants. So, I would probably at the very least bring three times the minimum buy-in. That way you got three shots at the slot machine.
Yeah,
probably
a little
bit. But it all depends, like you said, on how much you're willing to lose or how much you can afford to lose. But I don't think there's anything wrong with buying in light and watching the table a little bit.
Yeah, and if you're playing cash games, you know, be prepared for larger than online raises and be prepared for guys straddling on the button and straddling next to you if you're in the big blind, that kind of stuff. You know, it's going to make the game play bigger, too. So don't fall into that trap. You know, make sure you play quality hands and know what you're doing.
Yeah, and be prepared for guys to be smelly. been playing online poker for a long time, and no one at my table has ever been. I've never been able to smell them. But every time in a live casino, there's somebody there that forgot their depends.
That's so that. Nasty, man.
But the other thing I told Rhett, too, is, you know, first time, too, I like to get there, and I don't like to, like, jump right in. I like to kind of walk around the room a little bit. I like to, you know, find the game that I'm going to be playing, maybe watch a couple orbits, get used to the whole, you know, the crazy etiquette. I mean, here's the thing is you're going to make mistakes on your first time.
Yeah.
You're going to make mistakes on your first three times. Heck, you're going to make mistakes the first 100 times. So you got to kind of go in there knowing that you're going to be kind of the doob at the table, but you know, if you watch a couple orbits and kind of get used to the how the things work and, you know, pick up some things, you're gonna be less of a dupe when you actually sit down. So I think that's
my first experience in it was a tournament, and I had my chips in front of my cards, and the guy said, "Are you all in?" I said, "No,
yeah.
Why?" He's like, "Well, right now your chips are in front of your cards, so in this casino you're all in." I was like, "No, not all in. I'm not all in."
No!
So, you know, you gotta look for those little nuances too. So yeah, take your time, enjoy yourself, and just try to play solid poker. What's your win? Yeah.
Well, the other thing too, I was gonna suggest to him that I didn't is you know, when you get there, is when you get to the brush stand or the cashier to sign in, I might tell them, hey, it's my first time here. What can you tell me?
Yeah.
And to me, because that would be a big test of how good this casino is, if somebody actually takes the time to kind of help you out.
Yeah.
Give you some pointers rather than just say, all right, well, we got 1, 2, and we got 3, 4. How do you want to play? But, Rhett, obviously, first time in a casino, so you probably play at home a lot. So we're going to send you a deck of J-Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com. They are the official playing cards of Ante Up, and you can enjoy those when you're not at the casino. Or you can enjoy them at casinos that do deal them, like Tampa Bay Downs here.
Last week in the ride-along, we call, and he turns over the 10 of spades and the 8 of spades, and we survive and move on. And now we have a little less than 16,000 chips with the blinds at 500, 1,000 with a 125 ante. That's kind of a weird ante, too. I don't remember a 125 ante before, but...
A heavy ante tournament here.
We've changed gears. It falls to us in the hijack seat. We raise with king-queen offsuit and get re-raised all in by a fairly loose player who has us more than covered. What do you want to do, Scott?
All right, Chris, you're going to have to color me confused here. And I know in general that's my color.
Yes.
So it's probably not all that different. But, you know, Columbo says what seems like a normally easy decision is anything but. And I got to say, I'm having trouble seeing how this decision is, troubling. I mean, do we really want to call off all of our chips with king, queen off? From what he's told us about this player, obviously, he's been aggressive. But he's mixed up a mix of high-quality hands and so-so quality hands. So I kind of think this, we're assuming that this guy is loose, is maybe a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we can really feel confident that this is really a loose re-steal here. And to be honest, even if we did feel confident, really? Really, Chris? With king, queen off?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly this is a grit your teeth and fold spot for sure, but I think it's definitely a fold.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're behind here. You know, we raised, he 3-bet. Yeah, okay, he's loose, but it's not like you can outplay him now. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's either you
that's
call and you're behind. Yeah, so there's no reason to risk
it. That's why these guys do this. That's why it's crappy no limit hold'em.
Yes, it's 60-40 dog likely. Just fold and move on. I don't see really any decision here. You know, next time you'll have ace-king and you'll be able to call, you know, because the guy's going to do it again to you. But right now, get out of the way, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think this kind of goes back to that in a different way, but you know, we had that conversation about the loose idiot that comes to the table, doesn't care at the 4-8 table, sprays his chips around. I mean, the worst thing you can do is get frustrated by that guy and play and make bad decisions with bad cards.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be patient and wait him out because you're going to get it eventually. And that, I think, the same thing this player, right? King queen is not what I'm waiting for.
Oh man, it's a nice hand if it's late in the tournament and you're at the final table and you've got more chips than somebody, but calling off your life and you're not even in the money yet, no way. See you later.
Shoving with it's different, but not calling with
it. Yeah, exactly.
Really? Really? All right, well, we went to the forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum, and the results were split. And I say results were split, that means we had 2 results. One guy wanted to give up the game and go play something else. I'm all in favor of that. and then Gundam wants to make the call, and his rationale for calling is that it's a good time for the small blind to be playing fold equity and likely to get you to fold a better hand. If not, if you call, obviously he gets to see all 5 cards. So it's kind of a risk-reward thing on his point of view. And I get that. I get our opponent's point of view, but I don't think that means that we have to play his fiddle.
Well, I'm dying to see if he calls and this is the last episode, because I don't know when the last episode's coming. So maybe he calls and goes home and this is it. Let's see what happens.
Welcome back. Well, what do you think? Is king queen an easy fold preflop? I don't think it's that easy. Even at 3K, I have a good 20% of my stack in there, and this is going to leave me with a folding M of about 6. That, and we know this guy likes to push the action preflop, sometimes with marginal hands.
There are all kinds of people, sir.
Look, I hate king-queen because of the number of times you will run into ace-king or ace-queen. But if he has any other naked ace, this looks like a good M to gamble with. I'm calling. He flips over the naked ace with ace-six of hearts, and the flop comes 10-jack-6, putting him ahead briefly until an ace on the turn makes us a straight, and we take a very large pot. So after an anticlimactic plan where I take the blinds and a limper with ace-ace, and folding lots of garbage and steals, I'm hanging around 30K. Everybody's stealing to keep up with the blind, so I get dealt aces and I expect to just pick up the blinds again when somebody tries a re-steal on me and instead of making a 3x, re-shoves their entire stack, which was a free double up when he flips over ace-9. Again, another guy over-shoving with a weak ace. Unfortunately, I tangle with the same guy again in the exact same situation, only this time I have kings and he has aces. I expect to start the next hand with this story at 30k when a king comes on the river and suddenly I'm sitting on 150k in chips at the 2,000-4,500 level. And I have a tight image to boot.
Oh, this night is far from over.
So from early position, I get dealt 10 of hearts, 10 of spades here, and I raise it to 9999, which is about 2.5x. And it folds around to the small blind who simply shoves in his 85k. Comes back around to me. Is this a good place to call or simply a good place to fold?
This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
All right, well, as you can tell, I am back from Las Vegas from the World Championship of Poker. Tell you,
really? That was going on last week?
Yeah, it was
gosh,
amazing.
How did I miss that?
Me. If people hadn't come up and told me, I'd have never known. I thought I was out there for like a geek convention. But apparently there was some poker going on, so I thought I'd stumble into the Rio and see how it all played out. I have to tell you, though, you know, the champion had like all this tomato sauce on his face, and I was kind of confused. I'm like, dude, do you always eat this many meatballs at the table? And it turns out I was talking to Joey Chestnut, and they had the World Championship of Meatball Eating Contest there. And,
excellent. I love Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, I shook his hand, and he won the contest, of course. I can't remember how many meatballs he ate. It was like 6 billion or something. But pretty remarkable stuff. People just chowing down on meat. It was a great trip, man. All right, so let's move on to the hand of the week. But it was true. When they got down to the final two, they said, we're going to have a press conference in the Masquerade Room at the Rio, and come on over. And so I walk over, and it's so loud, and the music's going, and I'm like, what the hell's going on up there? Did I miss it already? What? I'm not late. It's like supposed to be at 1 o'clock. It's only like quarter of, and up there's Joey Chestnut stuffing his face with meat.
Awesome.
I'm like, oh, my God, these guys are eating the meatballs. This is awesome. So, of course, he won, you know, and it was so loud and obnoxious, though, and then they did their little thing for the World Series and stuff, so that was kind of cool. But, a lot of little things going on while I was out there. You know, I don't really have anything really organized as far as what happened, but some stuff that stands out, you know, first of all, they take us as the, they treat us like crap. I gotta say this, you know, I love Harrah's and that they're making poker what it is and everything as far as being popular and everything, but really, they just treat the press like crap, and I'm just tired of it, but they put me up in this press box area with all the other lackeys or whatever, and I was like 700 feet above the table. And I'm not even exaggerating. It's the Penn and Teller Theater, and these are like the highest possible seats that are in the building. I'm looking at the rafters.
Are you up in the Muppet seats?
Yes, I'm way higher than the Muppet seats.
With Mortimer and Johnson?
Yeah, they were down below me, And I could hear them heckling, you know, like, Grinder, what the hell are you thinking? You know, and it was just ridiculous. But, I mean, you know, so I'm up there, and I didn't know it was BYOB, bring your own binoculars. So I'm up there, and I'm looking through my binoculars at all the people. And one thing I got to say real quick was, you know, as soon as the final table starts, some guy in the stands takes off all his clothes except his tidy whities.
Awesome.
All of his clothes.
I didn't know Phil Helmuth made an appearance.
He did. Literally all his clothes. And I'm like, hey, guys, what's with the guy in the tidy whities? And so everybody starts laughing. They all start blogging about it, you know. And it didn't take long. Security ran over to him. They're like, dude, you got to put your clothes back on, man. This is the world championship of poker. You can't be dressed like that. So, like 2 seconds after that, Bruce Buffer comes out and does this. And I want to finish it because I'm going to get sued. You know, but he does his little "it's time" thing, and that's totally lost on me, Scott. I don't care. Do you care?
Oh, well, it's all part of the spectacle. I'll give him spectacle points, but yeah, I mean, if I was there to actually work in carpet, then I would probably have a little sour taste as you have. But,
just you know, whatever. I mean,
from the fan side of it, the fact that they're making this. You know, they set up the whole November 9 to be a spectacle. So if they didn't make it a spectacle, it'd be a big waste. So.
Yeah.
So I'll give them spectacle points.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Now, okay, that was kind of exciting or whatever it was, but I really wish that Buffer actually called the tournament then because...
Ah, yes.
Right? That would be fun. But instead, they have Jack Ethel. Okay? Now, I like to make an analogy here and compare this situation to journalism, which I know you'll appreciate because you obviously weren't getting laid at journalism camp. So... you know, in newspapers, if you're a good editor, they tend to promote you and make you like a department head. Now, just because you know how to tighten up a story or know a difference between who and whom, that doesn't make you a good leader. It doesn't tell you you can run a department, yet that's what they do. It's one of the biggest downfalls in journalism, right?
Absolutely.
So, same with the World Series. You know, just because Jack Ethel is a good tournament director, that doesn't make him a good announcer.
Right.
He was absolutely killing us in the press box with his attempts at humor and stuff. And he's literally talking at all the wrong times. He's like, you know, guys are there trying to make a decision for $9 million, and he's making all these inappropriate comments. And some of the things he says was like, Grinder just calls.
I'm like, oh.
No, you can't say shit like that. Grinder just calls.
Gotta blow the whistle.
Yes. Duhamel raises again. You can't say things like this. And I really wish that Matt Savage and Harris didn't part ways. He is sorely missed. I mean, I like Jack Ethel, and he's a nice guy, and he calls a great tournament as far as, like, running one or whatever. But to be the MC, it's just not his calling, man. It's, pardon my pun. They need to get rid of him.
Yeah.
All right, so enough of that. What I want to let you know was my first night there, Scott, I played video poker.
Oh, my gosh. You and Mike Matisau.
I played video poker, and I doubled my buy-in.
Wow, so you walked away with $2.
Yeah, actually, I walked away with $5. But listen, I actually had a bad beat, and I got to tell
it. A bad beat in video poker.
So I'm playing, you know, like the smallest machine possible, 1 cent, whatever it is. And, you know, so I was playing, you could play up to like 100 hands.
Probably, bartender, do you got a half cent, 1 cent game somewhere I can play around here?
You mean you don't got micro limits in this casino? What kind of casino is this? Well, you know, you can play 100 hands on this video poker machine, right? So you play it all at once.
I trapped in that one, didn't you?
I love those. So, you know, I sit down.
See, I think you're the type of guy that would sit down at the 100-hand thing, at the penny, two-penny, and play one hand.
I was that kind of guy, but I had Big Dave sitting next to me, and he's like, play 100 hands. I'm like, no. He's like, play 100 hands. I'm like, no. So ultimately, I started playing 100 hands because I gave in to peer pressure, you know. And so I'm playing it, and I win, like, a bunch of money up to like $5. I double my buy-in. So at that point, I'm like, all right, I've doubled my buy-in. So anything over $5 now of profit, I'm just going to keep playing until I have to force myself to play one hand at a time, you know, one penny.
Right.
So I get to like 506, 505. I'm like, all right, I got to play one hand. So I play the first time I play one hand, the first time I get quad tens.
Yes, see?
And it would have paid me the jackpot if I had played 100 hands. I would have made like $50 on a dollar investment. Instead, I get 50 cents. Oh, man, it killed me.
Seven Ellis Island steak dinners.
Oh, glad you brought up Ellis Island, because then I played Keno at Ellis Island a couple of days later.
Oh, my God.
And I doubled my buy-in again.
Oh, my gosh. And then you moved on to Chuck-a-Luck, right?
Oh, no, but we played while we were waiting for our seat, and, oh, man, the lady at the counter, she, I tell you, it's no wonder that she's working the counter at Ellis Island, because, oh, my God, she's like, what's your name? I said, Chris. She goes, okay, you're number 8, and I look down, and I'm number 6, and I'm like, but you wrote down 8, and she goes, you're number 8. I said, no, look, it's number 6, and she's like, don't worry, when we call 6 later, you can come up with the 8, we'll get you in, you know? So I go back up, when they finally call our names, we go up there, and the guy, the actual, like, manager comes up to her, and he says, what are you doing? And she says, what? He says, you just gave Anna 11 the table over there when it was Anna 5 that you were supposed to give. Now Anna 5, you're standing here waiting for their table, and we just gave their table away. Now they get... And she's like, oh, I don't know, this numbering system's so complex. She writes down a number on a piece of paper and hands it to you. That's all she does. So, I mean, this lady was terrible. So finally we get our seat, and I was dismayed that the special is now $7.99.
Yeah, it's gone up another. That's $2 or $3 since they first debuted.
Yeah, yeah. It used to be, what, $4.99, right?
Yeah, $4.99. So. Yeah.
Still a great deal, though, although I do have to admit that the steak was a little tough despite being medium rare.
Really?
Yeah, it was hard. Either that or the knife was really, really... No, it was tough because even chewing it, I felt like a cow. It was tough, man. It was tough to eat, but...
It's disappointing because that's always the best steak I have anywhere.
Yeah, it was. It was always so good the last 2 or 3 times we've gone, but this time it was kind of tough. But maybe it was just an anomaly. You know, we'll figure it out later. So I got back to Big Dave's house. I like to stay with him and his wife Chris when we're up there, and they always treat me really, really well up there. And so we're there, and we're hanging out in his man cave, and he's like, "Dude, I gotta show you this." And he pulls up an old time World Series of Poker video game.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's like, Scott, it's like Commodore 64 graphics.
Yeah, you know? You guys are like Randy the Ram there playing it.
Yes, it was really cool. The plane flies into Vegas, you know, but it's kind of got that, like...
Oh, I have that one!
You have that game where it's got Jack McClellan and Jack Vinion's, like, caricature on the face telling you...
It's like an ATA airplane, too.
Yes!
Cool. ATA was still in business. That was out of business, and... It used to drive me crazy because no matter what I do, I had to still make the stupid flight out there. Even when I lost my buy-in, I had to get back on the plane, presumably somewhere else, and fly back to Vegas to get back in the tournament. Oh, man.
It was an awesome game. And, of course, talk about a horrific random card generator. Oh, my God. Whenever you got it all in, it automatically had the best hand or would suck out and make the best hand. Oh, my God, it was horrific. And you had to win a satellite to get to the main event, and you couldn't get to the main event. It was hilarious.
You know, the cash games, too, and win your buy-in, yeah, but you couldn't just buy in.
Oh, man.
But, you know, hey, what's good about that game, though, is I think you can program it. So you can actually play, like, the actual World Series with their blinds and as many people as you want. So you can actually simulate the World Series at home. Of course, you're playing on a computer, but...
Oh, man, it was hilarious just to see those old graphics.
Ah, that's great.
So that was cool. I was playing that for a while with him. And then, and speaking of the plane, too, I forgot to say that. Flying in, you know, I'm real proud of our product and our business and everything. So I always make sure I wear a patch with my Annie Up shirt so that they see the website and our branding logo and stuff. And so a guy is sitting next to me on the plane, and we fly for 5 hours, okay? For 4 hours and 39 minutes, he doesn't say a word to me. And I look out and I see something like in the Grand Canyon or whatever it was. And I think it was like a blinking light or something. And I said, I wonder if that's. So the guy's looking out with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I said, what is that down there? I don't know what that is. And he goes, oh, you speak English.
Yes.
I said, what do you mean I speak English? He said, I noticed that your patch, I don't understand what that says. I don't know what that word is. I go, I go, ante up? He goes, yeah. I thought it was a foreign language. I said, what? And so I was like, oh, my God. He thought ante up was like a foreign word. And he didn't. I said, well, you didn't see your poker magazine underneath it? Because he was actually not looking at the patch, but the logo on the left. I was like, dude, it's ante up. You know, like poker, throw your antes in. He's like, oh, okay, boy, you know. He's like, color me stupid. I'm like, yeah, I'll color Scott confused and I'll color you stupid. Next time I go to the Gap, I'm going to ask for a shirt in those two colors. But really, he thought I spoke like a different language. I was like, are you kidding me? And of course, on the flight home, you know, I stopped in Jacksonville, but we stay on the same plane. So I got in pretty close, even though I was B-15. I was in like the sixth row. So it was pretty decent. And I've got this new thing that I'm probably going to stop doing now. When I get on the plane, especially when I'm a single, I look for like an empty spot in the overhead bin that I can just throw my bag in and then pick a seat I want so that way I can get as close as possible. So I did this time, like the third row. I'm like, wow, there's a big open space there. I threw my bag up there, and then I sat in the sixth row. So we land in Jacksonville, and the lady's like, feel free to move about the cabin once we've gotten a head count and everyone's gone, you know. It's like, okay. So there's this guy in the third row, and he's a big dude, and apparently needs a wheelchair. And he has a dog with him, and the dog is, like, sitting on the you know, the tray table. So, and that's where he kept...
Yeah. Because that's where dogs sit.
Yeah, that's where he kept the dog. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So she says to him, okay, sir, you got to go now. You got to go. And he's like, all right, I'm waiting for my wheelchair. And he goes, so he starts to go out, and he goes, don't forget my bag's up there. So I look down for a second, and then I look back up, and she's got my bag.
And
And she's leaving my bag. And I'm running out. I'm like, that's my bag. I'm screaming as loud as I can. So I'm like, I get up, and I shove between two people, and I'm like squirting down the aisle. I'm like, that's my bag. So the lady's like, that's your bag? And I'm like, that's my bag. Go tell her she has my bag. So they come back with my bag, and I sit down. And I didn't know that the guy had his dog on the tray table. But I sat down in his seat because I'm waiting for her to bring the bag back. So she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Here's your bag. And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't really care. I said, because now you let me move up sooner than I was supposed to because people were still getting off the plane, you know. So I got a good little seat here. And that's when she says, oh, here, you want this? And I go, what's that? She goes, his dog had an accident on the tray table. And she gave me a wet nap.
Awesome.
I said, I'll be sitting over there, thank you. And I got up and moved over a row. So I ended up sitting in, like, row two. And it was kind of cool. But literally, this guy brought a dog on the plane, put him on the damn... And then what if we got the poor guy who sat there next time and had something to eat on there.
Yeah,
and the dog had an accident on it. So she ended up cleaning it with one of those alcohol-swabbed, you know, wet naps or whatever. But... you know, I didn't play any clips for the show this week, you know, just because, you know, the whole situation there, the interviewing process, absolutely horrendous. You would have no idea that this was the world championship for poker. You know what I mean? And they like to say, oh, it's the equivalent of, it's our Super Bowl. It's our World Series, but it's for poker, you know? And I'm like, you know what, guys? You know what? You just don't get it. They have us huddling around this, like, 5-foot by 5-foot area with the velvet rope squared off, and they bring the guys out after they get eliminated, and you're literally just, like, dying to get your hand in there because everyone's just beating up on you, trying to get a quote and everything, and it's absolutely ridiculous. So even when they were talking into my recorder and stuff, the sound was just horrible because everyone else is there pushing you and hitting your recorder, and it's, like, making this kind of noise. You know, and so you can't hear anything. So, you know, I said, screw it. I'm not going to play any clips. You know, I'm going to write a story about it. Everybody could read the story if they want it. And then by the time it comes out, they're going to know what happened anyway. So, but there's no sit down, no quiet area. They put you in the main lobby, you know, and we're all shoving and everything. And people are like coming out to, you know, their family and friends are coming out to console them. So they would scream their names and stuff. So you couldn't hear what he was saying anyway. And if he turns to talk to somebody on the right, then his head is totally facing the opposite way of your recorder. I mean, it was absolutely indecipherable and was just ridiculous. People were screaming. And so I got to tell you, the first guy we're interviewing, actually, I didn't interview Soy Wynn, but I interviewed Jarvis because he had a real bad beat. So there's a guy in front of me and a guy behind me. And I'm like a sweaty guy sandwich, okay? I'm the meat in a sweaty guy sandwich, all right? I'm stuck, and now I literally can't. Even if I wanted to move, I couldn't move, okay? I got my hand over the guy's shoulder, and I'm just basically just frozen there until they decide they want to leave. So I'm waiting patiently and listening, and I didn't even get a chance to ask a question because really, by the time, you know, Poker News and all the other big-time audio video guys asked their questions. They pretty much asked everything you want to ask anyway. So I'm there helpless, just standing there frozen. All of a sudden, it quiets for 1 second, and I hear, burr. Yes, the man in front of me let one rip.
Oh, man.
I swear to Darwin, I almost puked all over this guy's back. I swear to God.
That's nasty.
That is just not right. And I'm like, this is the worst situation ever. I can't move. The guy, I'm trying to breathe through my mouth, but then you could taste it. It was the grossest thing ever. So that was basically every single time somebody got knocked out, that's what you were facing. People just squished in there, couldn't get anybody, and it was really, really frustrating. We get upstairs to the the media press box area. What do they have for us? They have one of those water dispense things with a big bottle on top, water cooler, and they have Jack Link's beef jerky for us to eat.
Did they have the shredded beef jerky?
No. They had the stick and the nuggets.
Oh, but, because they sent us beef jerky, because we're VIPs, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And you're on this diet now, so you can't eat it. So I got all the beef jerky at my house. And last night, I was watching TV, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I kind of feel like some jerky. So I went over, and they sent, two little containers that that looked like chewing tobacco.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was shredded jerky. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. So I opened it up, and I took it over, and the wife is like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, it's shredded jerky, Winsome. No, so it's like a little powder, but you put it in your mouth, and it turns into, jerky. It's like sea monkeys.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. I would have preferred that over the stick, because the stick is just the stick is just like meat goo inside a condom. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
not kind of the stick.
It's not really a stick. So, but that's not the problem. The problem is that they don't feed you. They don't feed you. How do you not feed the press at the World Championship of Poker? They don't give you a voucher. They don't give you a coupon. They don't give you a spread. Nothing. Yeah. All they give you is beef jerky and water. I was just like, this is so unprofessional. It was just ridiculous. I was not happy with it. And you know what? They're never going to change it either. They just don't get it. They don't run quotes for you. They don't, in case you can't get down there, if you're a one-person operation and something's going on that you have to take care of or you're interviewing somebody, they don't go and get you quotes. They don't bring back quotes. Nothing like that at all. I mean, God, I've covered high school games that were more thorough than that.
Yeah.
All right, so just two poker-playing stories real quick before we move on, because I don't want to bore anybody with my rants anymore. So I went out and I said, I feel like playing, but I don't feel like driving too far. And on my way from Dave's house, the Palms is on the way. And that's literally the first poker room on the way. So I said, I liked the Palms the last time I was there. Let me go there again. There's always a lot of action. And I guess they have no maximum buy-in. So people can buy in for thousands if they want. It's really ridiculous. So I sat down at a 1-3 table. And people had thousands of dollars in front of them. Some had the same amount as me. I bought it for like $200. And so anyway, you can straddle on the button there. It's really weird. You can straddle on the button, and that takes away the straddle from the guy who'd want to straddle next to the big blind. Button has precedence. It's really weird the way they set it up, and it's the rule there. And one guy was hilarious. He was probably the best no-limit cash game player I'd ever played against. He was unbelievable, and he was funny. He was playing the drunk and everything, but he was just cleaning everybody out. He won like 9 pots in a row. It was really remarkable. So he was busting on the straddle, too, on how to play it. So he said, all right, well, then I'm going to straddle the button. And he put out like $25 on the straddle in a 1-3 game. And he did it like whatever stack he would grab in his hand, he would put that as a straddle. Like if he grabbed all the blue chips, he'd make like 16 to go on the straddle. He'd make 25. So that like started a trend. And then when he left, everyone else started doing it. They were betting at least $10 to $15 on the button. And I, of course, you know me. I would never do that. So here's a case of where karma got the best of me. Now I had a nice hand earlier where I had like ace 9 in the blind against another blind, and the flop came with an ace, and I bet and he called, and the turn another ace. So it was like ace, ace, king, 10, and I really thought that we were going to split. So I bet again, he calls. On the river, a 6 falls. I check. He bets like 75. I call. He has ace 6 and makes a boat on the river against my ace 9. And I was like, oh, my God. So that got me down to like about 100 or just under 100. And I wasn't going to buy in anymore. It was getting pretty late, and I just wanted to either double up and go home or go broke. So another guy straddles on the button. Now, this guy was horrid, okay? He was horrid. He made calls all night that were so bad. People were just like elbowing each other like, oh, my God, I can't wait to get into a pot with this guy. So he straddles on the button for 15. Two callers are ahead of me, and I look down at ace of spades, queen of spades. And I was like, you know what? This is a perfect squeeze opportunity. I'll make like $45 on this hand, or I'll get a caller who's probably behind me. So I go all in. It gets to this guy, and he says out loud, I'm thinking about making a bad decision here. And so at this point, I know I'm ahead. So I'm like, all right, I really want to call here, so I know what to say. So I said, hey, man, nothing stops you from making bad decisions all night. Why start now? The whole table erupts in laughter, and he goes, all right. And he makes this, like, really twisted face, you know, and he shoves out 100. Everyone else folded, and he doesn't turn over his hand because, you know, cash game is not a tournament.
Right, right.
So I'm like, all right. So I show the guy next to me my ace-queen. Flop comes ace-queen-4, and he's like, wow. I'm like, yeah, unless he's got pocket fours, I'm doing pretty good. And the turn's a 2. The river's a jack, and he pulls his stack back and turns over king 10.
Oh,
man. I was like, there's karma for you. I was being a jerk, and, you know, I just got what I deserved. So I go home broke. And the next day, I go to the, you know, I go to the press conference or whatever it was. And now I've got, like, hours to kill. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go to play another. And so I went to the Mirage and played. Broke even at the Mirage. And said, you know, I'm going to try a different place. Because the Mirage is a great poker room. I love the Mirage.
Yeah, I like playing the Mirage.
But
yeah.
90% of the dealers are slow, and it drives me crazy. You know, 90% of the dealers who came through were slow. There's always that good kid Joe who's got kind of the red hair and the freckles. He's really good. But the rest of them, you know, all of my experiences there, they're kind of slow. So, like, you know what, I'm even here. Let me move on. So I was like, wait a minute, there's Treasure Island. I can take the tram right over to Treasure Island. Let me see, because last time I played there, I won like $175 in a loose game. So I buy in for $300, and there's this guy who straddles on the button for $10 every time. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get back at the straddler at this game, you know? So every time people would limp, and when it got to him, he'd make it a minimum of 65, okay? Sometimes more. So it's like 5 or 6 times now he's done this. And I've got about 280 left in front of me, and I look down at Ace King of Hearts. I was like, all right, I'm going to get this guy. So I limp $10. He makes it 75 to go. He gets back to me. Ship it. I put it all in there, right? He calls instantly and turns over king.
Oh, man.
And I flop an ace. I was like, oh, my God. Rack, please. It ended up being over 300 from, you know, 280 from him and then the other two callers. So I got in the blinds. I got like 320 on it. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually up for the trip. Rack, please. And took the money. And, oh, my God, the guys were pissed. I was like, dude, I just wanted to get even. I'm sorry, you know. And here it is. I have to suck out to get my money instead of getting in good, you know. So maybe I start doing that more often. Get it in behind, you know. So, you know, basically I was a little up for the trip. Not much, though. And, you know, when you consider that I stayed with Dave and had fun with them and everything, I consider myself ahead. So, you know, the World Series itself was exciting. You know, Grinder really threw it away, and I thought he threw it away. I thought John Raisner probably is going to be Saint John Raisner someday because the amount of patience this kid showed was absolutely remarkable. And I think Duhamel is going to be a good champion. You know, when you see him with the hoodie on, he takes on this different persona. You think almost he's like a punk because he's so confident and everything. But really, when you get to talk to him, he takes the hoodie off. He's just a young kid who's really excited, really eager, and I think he's going to be a good champion. So I'm happy I went, happy I experienced it, and I'm probably going to have to be there every year now from now on. But I really wish Harris would get on the ball and treat us a little better. They wouldn't even let our photographer on the stage. You know, our photographer had to shoot from the stands, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, it depends on how, and it just reminds me how far you and I still have to go with this. Because we're not giving them money or we're not considered big enough in their eyes to get a photographer on the stage or whatever. And it's just, it's unacceptable to me. You know, we're the media. There shouldn't be favoritism just because they dump money, you know, but it's gambling and that's the way it goes. So I'm not happy with that, but all in all, it was a good trip.
Now, from a spectator standpoint, I mean, obviously the press was in the nosebleed seats, but I mean, if folks want to go out next year for this thing, is it worth them going, do you think? Can you actually follow the action at all from...
Well, if you're really into poker, you can't follow the action in the sense that you don't know what they have, but they do have these huge flat screens floating on each corner, and occasionally the live feed will go up there and they'll follow it around, and you know, and Ethel explains everything that's going on. Like when you watch it on television, you can hardly hear Ethel's voice at all, but when you're there, that's the only thing you can hear is him explaining what's going on in the hand, describing the action and everything. So from that standpoint, and from, you know, from a spectacle standpoint, it is fun. You know, they had, like, the ring girls coming in, seat one with the sign over their heads, holding it up high and walking the players in. You know, they had, like, special effects going off, you know, the little pipes shooting out the steam and, you know, whatever, and music, their songs were playing their songs and everything. And so, I mean, it was kind of cool that way. But once you got down to the actual poker, I could see where you would be pretty bored sitting in the stands. unless you had a real serious rooting interest in somebody, or when, you know, the big hands actually came up. That's pretty exciting. But overall, it was a good trip, and I'm just glad to be back.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer, better known as the Fossil Man, and you are listening to Annie Up.
Well, Chris, as you know, our listeners span the range of poker skills, right?
I thought you were going to say globe. I thought you were going to say they span the globe.
They span the globe as well, too. but you know, we have players to play the higher limits. We have players that are beginners and everything in between, right?
Right, absolutely.
Big old happy Goldilocks family.
That's what makes our show so wonderful. It's like potluck of poker love.
Well, this week's Hand of the Week comes from our new friend Sean in Jacksonville, Florida.
All right.
And this is a 10 FPP tournament on PokerStars.
Frequent player points.
Frequent player points.
Okay.
So, as I explained to him when I was responding to him with this hand, that I gave him like two pieces of advice throughout the hand. The FPP advice and the normal tournament advice. you know, it sounds funny, but I mean, it's true. I mean, FPP tournaments are a lot like free rolls. You know, people play completely differently in them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they really have nothing. They're not risking anything. They only have something to gain. So they play generally a little crazier, right? Would you say?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty much spot on.
So, you know, obviously when we get a hand like this, I want to be sure that we address it from the FPP style in case the players go out and continue to play those tournaments, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you know, we're trying to overly educate the entire spanning the globe audience, right? So had we been playing in a different tournament, the advice might be a little different, right?
Right, right, absolutely.
So it's like two hands of the week in one this week, Chris.
So we don't have to do one next week then.
That's a good point. That's a good point. and sorry, Sean, only one piece of swag.
Yeah, only one swag.
All right, so like I said, it was a 10 FPP tournament. And Sean from Jacksonville, he's relatively new, obviously. He just started playing in January. But, you know, some of the comments that he put in his hand, he's come a long way in this less than the year, Chris.
Okay.
So it's a little round of applause for Sean.
Well, yeah, it's because he's listened to our show, I'm sure, and our quality advice.
Hopefully he listens to other shows. I would hate to think that someone came this far in such a short time just listening to us. all right, so he said at this tournament it just started, and he feels the other players were overvaluing their hands and playing loose passive, with the exception if someone got a good hand, they would just push preflop and hope to get called and double up. That's about par for the course.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get started here. It is at the 1530 level, so as he said, it just started. Everybody has about their 1,500 in starting chips, except one guy's got like 5,000.
Huh.
So must have been the lucky recipient of several double ups. And another guy is short stacked with 900. We have about 3,000, so we've doubled up as well, too.
Okay.
All right, we have two folds before it gets to us and three calls. And we are in the cutoff seat with Jack of Hearts, 10 of Diamonds.
Okay, you know, I'm not going to raise with this hand, and when you're in a frequent player points type of tournament, you know, this is the kind of hand where you want to flop a straight or two pair and have somebody overvalue their single pair or whatever. So I'm just going to call here. It seems I got the odds here. I got all these callers in front of me, so and I got a pretty good stack. I mean, I got over 100 big blinds. So yeah. So I'm going to call and speculate. I'm not going to raise with it because obviously these players are still new too, so they may not respect the raise or, you know, may not know what they have. So I'm just going to call and see what happens.
Wow, spot on analysis.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, because what I told him is in a real tournament, I might be tempted to raise here because you've got so many limpers.
You're right.
There's some dead money in there, and Jack 10, while not a great hand, it's a hand that could flop big.
Right.
So I can put in a nice maybe a 6x raise here because it's early on. It's not going to cost me much.
Right.
Hopefully take down the dead money. And if I do get called, then maybe I can flop big. And I've got position on all these players so far as long as the button gets out of the way. But we're not playing a real tournament.
No.
We're playing an FPP tournament, and people don't fold raises in FPP tournaments.
No, generally you want to just see hands for as cheap as possible in these tournaments and then just get them to put all their money and draw dead on you.
And Jack 10 is a great hand to do that, I think.
Absolutely. It's the only hand that can make five nut straights.
That's exactly it. So, and of course, we should also remind folks that when you play Jack 10, you are playing for that straight, correct?
Yeah, yeah, or maybe
not
top
playing
two.
For Jack High.
No, maybe top two, but other than that,
maybe top two, but yeah.
You want a straight here.
Really, you're looking for the straight. All right, well, our hero says that Jack 10 off is a so-so hand, but since everyone's willing to limp, I decided to see a flop, feeling I could outplay them if I hit it and fold if not. See?
Yep.
He's come a long way.
Yep, clearly he listens to the show.
All right, and all right, so he calls, the button calls, small blind calls, people from other universes are calling, and the big blind checks. So we have 47 people going to the flop.
Definitely got the pot odds to draw the one outer here.
Yeah, yeah, the pot's 210 now, and so that's what, 7-1?
Yeah. Jeez.
All right, flop comes, six of spades, jack of clubs, five of hearts. We have a check, a bet, a min raise, a call, and a fold before it gets back to us.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. All right.
Did we mention, by the way, I might have forgotten to mention this, Chris. This is an FPP tournament.
And did we mention we're hoping to hit a straight and not just top pair? So we're going to fold and move on? That's what I would do regardless, even if it wasn't FPP, even if this was we're down the street at Tampa Bay Downs and putting some real money out there. I think that this is not what I wanted to flop. And when I see a bet, a min raise, and a call ahead of me, yeah, I'm not ahead here. At least I'm not yet. And if I am, I still don't like you know, my chances by the end of this hand. So I'm folding.
Yep, I see. Wow, we are sharing a brain today, much to the detriment of the entire world, just the end of PokerCast.
What's really weird is we were doing opposite day earlier in the show.
Yes,
now we're
yes.
sharing a brain. That's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, top pair, fairly weak kicker.
Yeah.
And this is a an uncoordinated board, so there's not a lot of people sticking in for draws here.
Right.
I mean, maybe the blinds are.
Right.
But we really can't be much ahead of anything, really, right?
No, I really think that we're asking for trouble even pursuing any more after this.
And what's worse is we really don't have much opportunity to improve on this hand either, right?
No, I mean, maybe a 10, maybe a jack, but we probably are behind another jack. And if we're not, we could be soon. So got to think of their ranges too here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really, I think it's like a three-outer for a 10, and that might not even hold up.
Right.
It may not even be the good.
No, you may be drawn dead hitting a 10, so I'm getting out.
All right, well, I totally agree.
Damn.
Boring. Now, had we, again, in a real tournament, we would have put in that big raise pre-flop. Hopefully, we would have taken it down. If not, we hopefully would have thinned the field to one person. Hopefully, we'd still be in position because the button would have been out. And now, with top pair weak kicker, I can put in a continuation bet, maybe, and try to take it down there. Maybe.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to play this real hand scenario you're trying to do throughout the hand. Because you're going to try to do this on every street, and you have to remember all the situations that you got to. Really, in a real tournament situation, you would have maybe raised with it and maybe hit top pair and then maybe bet out and then got the guy to fold. But it's just not going to happen now. And you're trying to keep track of all that. It's like trying to keep track of the stock market on
the day after
Thanksgiving. So it's just not going to happen.
All right. Well, our hero decides to call, obviously, because it was hand of the week, and we can't just end it right now. but we do get two folds after that, and the initial bettor completes the raise.
Okay.
So I believe that is one, two, three, four? Four left?
Yeah, four-handed. So how much was the bet, though? Do we know?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was they opened for 60 and was raised to 120.
All right, so now we're looking at like a thousand unit pot or so, right?
It's actually 690.
What?
Don't really know how that happened.
Four times one. Well, I guess so. Yeah, 4 times 120.
Yeah, that's right.
And 210 in the pot originally. So like 700 in the pot, going to the turn with top pair weak kicker,
and four handed.
Okay.
All right. The turn is the 10 of spades.
Wow.
You knew that was coming, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So our board now is the six of spades, jack of clubs, five of hearts, ten of spades. The player who initially bet out on the last street checks now. And the player who raised will open for 150 here. Get the player in between us out of the way. And now it's on us.
Hmm. You know, I almost always just always raise. And everybody always says, you know, that's whatever. But I think I'm going to try to control the pot here a little and just call. I mean, I realize I'm giving somebody with 7-8 the odds to hit their card for what they want to hit, and they're probably getting the right price. But I don't think, unless I do some major massive bet here, you know, they're probably going to come along anyway. And I don't really like putting my whole tournament on the line with this hand. So I think I might just call here. You know, I don't know if that's right or not, but it feels right.
All right. Well, you know, the problem is we don't really have a lot of information on what people might have.
Right.
You know, the min raise is awkward in any situation, but particularly in FPP, because that doesn't mean that it's weak at all. Could mean strong. So we could be up against a set here. I kind of like the fact that we hit our 10, and we might be ahead now. So I'm going to put in a raise, I think.
Are you putting in a raise willing to fold? That's what I want to know.
Willing to fold if I get re-raised?
Yeah. Because if you're not, then there's no reason to do it.
Yeah, I would think so.
All right, so if you raise here and this guy shoves, you're going to fold Jack 10.
Yeah, well, why not?
All right, remind me of the flop again. 6, Jack 5, right?
6, Jack 5. So again, no, I can't put that guy, because that guy wasn't in the blind. I can't put him on a draw of any sort.
Okay.
So probably like, well, gosh, and he didn't raise preflop, so not even ace jack. Maybe like a king jack, queen jack or something maybe.
All right, so let's say you put him on that hand, then he shoves. So now you're insta-calling, right? Because you have jack 10 and you think he has king jack or ace jack.
All right, yeah, you're right. Okay, here's the thing. I think I'm ahead now.
Okay, you think you're ahead. Okay.
If I'm ahead, I might as well raise here because I don't want to give him a free shot to hit his kicker, which could be higher than mine.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And if he does shove, then, hey, it's a 10 FPP tournament, right?
Well, all right, that's what I was confused by, too. Are you playing the 10 FPP side, or are you playing the live?
No. This is the 10 FPP.
All right.
Part of the hand of the week, I think.
All right. Well, pot control, if I'm playing pot control, I'm calling and seeing if he tries to bluff at it on the river. And then, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of it is it's early in tournaments, so we don't have a lot of reads on these players. If we know that this guy is just going to, you know, make another weak bet on the river, then yeah, I might well just, you know.
Yeah, because he bet less than a third of the pot on the turn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, of course, that's FPP there, too. That's probably just inexperience. So, you know, I mean, I'm not against raising. Like I said, I always say that I raise there. But for this one here, I think I might just call and control the pot and see what comes on the river. You know, I mean, if something like a 5 or a 6 comes, we're not going to be happy because he could have 6s and 5s, and now he's got a bigger, you know, he got a boat. So, I don't know. I just feel like raising here isn't the right move at this time. It feels weird. I don't know why, but I just feel like I should call there.
Well, good. I'm glad we finally disagreed. Makes me feel a little better.
Won't be the last time.
Yeah. I won't have to shower now. All right, well, our hero takes my line of thinking.
Right.
I like our hero.
And again, I don't disagree with that. It's just I feel like at this moment we should call and see what happens on the river.
All right, well, he raises 570 to a total bet of 720. So about 4x, right?
Yeah, that's a big raise.
1, 2, 3, yeah, a little bit more than 3, 3.5x.
Yeah, that's a big raise.
All right, and to be honest, if you raised, I kind of like that bet size.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 3 times what he bet, and plus that takes away the pot odds for somebody who just has a straight draw.
Right, and we have the third guy still in the hand, remember, who bet out on the flop and then checked here, too.
Right,
so
right.
Definitely want to get him out as well, too. I want to take the whole thing down now, obviously.
Right,
that's
right.
The recent raise. All right, well, so he makes that raise, and the guy who checked calls. So okay. You got to love these FPP tournaments.
Yeah. Well, I don't see any problem. It depends on the hand. The guy has a decent hand. He's gonna.
Yeah,
call
but he
it.
Can't have a. Can he have a draw of any sort?
No, Well, I don't think so. No.
If he doesn't have a draw, then I mean he's not playing pot control now because now the pot that's a big call to make.
Yeah.
If you've got Jack something else.
It could be something like 5-5 too. That's what I'm afraid of.
What do you mean? So he's got like bottom set, you mean?
Yeah, I'm afraid of that. So,
okay.
I'm afraid of that. And if he had pocket fives, he could play it that way, especially in an FPP tournament. He could play it that way. Now he's got. He was hoping to just keep stringing you along, but now he's got you doing his betting for him, and he's just
all right.
Calling.
But if he had pocket fives, I'll give him the check on the turn. But the check on the turn would be a trap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when somebody
came
bets,
because two people came along for the ride. So.
Yeah, but wouldn't you pump it here now?
I don't know. It's an FPP tournament. You know what I mean? I'm playing it from the FPP side. They may not. They may just want to slow play it the whole way, like my Uncle Mortimer, who likes to, you know, call everything with aces and then just never raise the whole way and then wonder why he goes broke. So, I don't know. I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm trying to narrow his range.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I've narrowed him off of that range.
Don't forget, you're playing it like the mediocre player we are. You know what I mean? You're not playing it. You're not playing it like an FPP player would play it. So I'm trying to get inside the mind of the FPP player here.
Okay. All right. All right, well, he calls, and of course, the guy who initially bet out also calls. So we didn't lose anyone, but we've generated a pretty nice pot now of $2,850.
Yeah, I mean, we basically, God, now we're committed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fold now. I mean, what am I going to fold for? You know, there's a $3,000 pot out there, and I've only got about $2,000 left. You know, two top two. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens on the river.
All right, well, the river is the king of spades. So our final board is the six of spades, jack of clubs, five of hearts, ten of spades, king of spades.
Oof.
The blind checks. The guy who's been betting all along bets 210.
Just call.
Into our $2,850 pot.
It's weak. It's weak.
And
maybe, you know, if we're in the real world and we're playing a cash game, maybe you put some serious pressure on this guy and you raise. But, you know, in FPP, it's a big enough pot to just call. I realize it's only a 10% bet. That's pretty a weak bet. But I'd be happy with just calling here and taking this pot. And I have a showdown value, so I don't think the other guy's going to raise it. So I'm happy with just calling here. Like I said, in a cash game, I would probably raise there. I probably would have played it totally differently. But in this little FPP tournament, I'd probably just call and be happy to see what I got.
All right, well, we're back sharing the brain again. to me, I see no upside to raising here. I really don't.
No, unless we didn't get to lay down a better hand, but that ain't going to happen because a better hand is way too strong.
I mean, we have this guy in the blinds who bets out and then check calls these big bets, right?
Right.
He checked again here. There's nothing to say he's not going to call again here. So he must have something, right?
Right.
And then the other guy's been betting the whole time, so he's got to have something too. And I initially put him on a jack with potentially a higher kicker. Very well could be a king, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
We don't have top two anymore.
No.
We have second two pair. I'm quite happy just, taking the nice little softball with guy through this 210. And, I mean, it's a massive pot, right? It's 3,000.
Yeah, it's 3,000 now. You're getting 15-1 on your call.
I'm not getting greedy here. And, I don't want to open up to this, I guess it's still open to the other guy to raise anyhow, right?
Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen. There, check raising on the river there, I doubt it.
But I don't see any upside in putting any additional money in.
No, I don't either. And again, you know, a hand like Jack Five of Spades is going to make you just throw up all over the computer. So that could be a possibility too. You know, he could have had two pair and then made a flush. I mean, so it's going to be sick if somebody has a flush here.
Yeah. And it could, you know, not that it's likely in most games, but an ace queen might have stuck around.
Yeah.
Here too, and a lot of draws got there, even though they're probably unlikely draws.
Right. All right, so calling too. I agree. I'm just going to call.
All right. Well, our hero min raises to 420. Again, the dreaded min raise. So, you
know,
he's come a long way 11 months.
Yeah. In 12
months, he learned not to min raise. and his line of thinking was he wanted to keep the guy who was checking in. So he was trying to get to coax him into coming into this pot and putting an extra 410 in. Extra
420. Yeah. Pot. I'd much rather go head to head with my top pair than have a third party in there squeaking by with, you know, king five or something. So,
And I guess if you want to bring the guy in, it's better just to
call
10, right? Because I mean, now you're making him think a little bit harder about calling with a mediocre hand. 210, most people are going to call 210 with anything here, really, right?
Right.
But 420, I mean, really, that's a tough fold as well, too. But you know, that's your line of thinking. I don't think you need to do that.
No, I think you just need to call and get an overcall behind you and take the extra 210. I think 420 might just scare somebody with a smaller hand. You know, a min raise like that is scary. Min raise is always scary.
Okay. And now, of course, we've reopened the bet to our initial bet.
Yeah, initial bet. Yep.
So for an extra 210, I don't know whether that's worth the risk either. You know, if you're going to raise here, make it a real raise, right?
Yeah, yeah. And again, like you said, though, opening up to a guy who's been betting this really weird the whole way and calling your raise already, you know, you just don't want to be called with a set here. You know what I mean? So let's just call and be happy we got a 3,000-unit pot for 200. So.
All right. Well, the guy who has been check-calling folds.
Right, I knew that was going to happen.
So our 420 squeezed him out. Got him off the hook. And our other opponent just calls.
Okay.
All right, feeling pretty confident now, I think, right?
Yeah, I think we probably have the best hand, but, you know, because the spades might have scared this guy, he could still have, like you said, king-jack or a king-six or a king-five.
All right, well, at showdown, we show our jacks and tens. Our villain shows king of diamonds, jack of spades.
Yeah, king-jack. Wow. Wow. Yep, we were ahead on the turn. I don't know what would have happened if we had made the big bet you said on the turn, but my simple call there got us in trouble.
Well, you know, I guess, the FPP too. I don't know whether the guy's gonna be capable of folding king jack.
I don't think so.
I mean, obviously he didn't when we made that big bet. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that he called that. You know, so I guess there's really no solution to winning this particular hand. We're not trying to be results oriented.
No. But the other thing too is, if we had given it up earlier, one, we wouldn't have lost this money. But since we did play it and we played it the way he did, we probably lost the minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, I know if he played the way we did, we definitely would have lost the minimum because we would have just called on him. We wouldn't have min raised. So,
right.
But he could have gotten away from the minimum there, and hope he sees the virtue in just calling at the end there rather than raising, because now he's lost another 210 that he didn't have to lose.
All right, well, Sean, we definitely appreciate you sending in the hand of the week, and like I said, congratulations on your quick catching on to the game and continue to improve. And we're going to give you something to help you out. We're going to give you a free download of the Poker Hand Breakdown Pro, a hand history analysis program for single or mixed games that comes from the good folks at element26.net. That's element26.net numerals. And that should be able to help you analyze your other hands so you don't have to send them into a bunch of yackles like us.
All right, it's good to be home. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the table.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.